This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Support for this podcast comes from U.S. Bank. When it's time for a new credit card, the best ones do way more than just buy stuff. And that's why U.S. Bank offers credit cards that make every day more rewarding. Earn cash back, score points when you shop, dine out, travel, or binge watch, or get a low intro APR. U.S. Bank credit cards were designed to fit your lifestyle. So make every day more rewarding and check out usbank.com/creditcard. U.S. Bank credit cards are issued by U.S. Bank National Association N.D. Some restrictions may apply. Member FDIC.
At this point, if the Premier League is going to be like this, I'd almost rather there be no EPL classic slates. They just be showdowns.
There's no,
and have the classic slate be the Bundesliga.
There's no maybe about this. That's like by far the best solution.
No, well, personally, I'd rather play Bundesliga DFS over EPL DFS.
Everyone should. Hello and welcome back to another episode of the RotoWire Fantasy Soccer Podcast. My name is Andrew Laird, Senior Soccer Editor of RotoWire. Joined on this Thursday, September 17th by Jordan Cooper to talk about Saturday's Premier League slate. Jordan, we had the first week of the Premier League last week. We had these staggered start times, which we're not usually used to. Is there anything that we learned from that one that we might be able to help us this time?
Well, we learned that DFS sucks now for the Premier League. Are they going to keep on doing this? Is there anything, I mean, like, it seems like they're scheduling games like 2 or 3 weeks in advance, because you'll see on the schedule, it's like, oh, 10 games on at the same time. That ain't happening.
Yeah.
So are we coming back to, is it everything going to be like La Liga? Like, it's getting to the point, like, if they're going to constantly have three separate games on all the time, that I'd almost rather play Bundesliga DFS than play EPL DFS.
Yes, I think that's where we should go. Unfortunately, it'll never happen, but like a 9:30 a.m. Eastern Saturday morning, five-game Bundesliga slate is so much better than staggered start Premier League. But yeah, I think they're doing it while there are no fans in games, and so they're letting people actually watch these games where they don't normally let them do that. But it is such a killer. I mean, it's not like we have like multiple games at each time slot. Like, it's fairly easy. It's three games. It's not like the old MLS days where we'd have like seven start times. But it sucks. You're right. That's the perfect term for it. Because
right, and it's just for the sweat experience and
yeah,
the time investment in. I always need to make sure it's like, well, do I have a 2v2 in case this guy doesn't start? Or then just having to just check the lineups. Just, oh, now, yeah, 1:30. I need to check who's playing just to make sure. And, like, from a casual player's experience, it just destroys it.
Yeah. I mean, we complained enough about just the late game on the regular Saturday slate, the 12:30 game, that they got rid of it. And now it's like, I think the worst part is that, like, the first lineup is 9 o'clock Eastern, and the last lineup is 2 p.m. Like, that's... it's just crazy. And you're not worried about like multiple games at 3 o'clock, you know, late in the day, but it just seems, even just one game at each time slot seems like it's a royal pain.
Right. But I think on this slate, the most important game for the lineups is probably the first one,
which we got last week too.
Right. But I think for the most part, the main players that you'd be targeting from the second two games are almost guaranteed to start.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I have no worries on this specific slate for that period. It's just that it's a pain in the ass.
Yes, that's correct.
So looking at the games that we have, the largest favorite on the slate is the middle game, Man United at home against Crystal Palace, -307 currently. That's the highest. That's not really the highest total, 2.75. Then Arsenal at home, -183 favorite over West Ham. That's slightly under 3. It's about the same total as the Man United game. And then the lowest total game, which is at 2.5. It's Leeds at home, -160 to Fulham. So it's two of the newly promoted sides. And essentially, I mean, I view this slate as like, you're more likely than not to play multiple pieces from the first game just due to price.
Yeah. But if, I mean, obviously price matters, but if price didn't matter, you probably wouldn't touch it.
Right, right. If it was any other slate, I mean, if this was a slate of 4 or 5 games, it's quite possible you don't play anyone from that game. Just that, like, the main pieces of the other games are just expensive.
They're very expensive, yeah.
So, I mean, starting out, I mean, I think forward is a problem this slate.
Yeah.
I think from a floor perspective, you have to say that Willian at 10-5, if he's going to be on all set pieces when he's on the field for Arsenal, I think that's going to be the popular option. But Aubameyang has -175 odds to score.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, obviously Willian could score from a free kick, he could score an open play, but when you're paying that price for a forward, who you pairing him with? Because I mean, I think the problem you're going to get in this slate is that, who do you prioritize, the forwards or Bruno Fernandes at midfield at 11,000?
Mm-hmm. I think one of the problems with Willian is Danny Ceballos could come back in. He didn't play in the first game, but Ceballos took plenty of set pieces last season before Willian came. And I mean, that's a late, I don't know if it's enough to keep you off of Willian, but I feel like Ceballos is a player people would consider. We'll get to midfield at some point, but I feel like he's a player somebody would consider if we knew he was going to play. But it obviously could hurt Willian. We don't know. Like, Willian has a lot more risk this week than he did last week.
Right, and he won't know until the last game.
Right.
So it's not like something where you could like plug in Ceballos and hope for the best or something. Like, you're not going to be in the position to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Because even most likely, you don't even have a slot. Like, if you're gonna play Ceballos, like, you're not pivoting to anyone, especially at that point.
Right.
The way to do it is that you play Willian and Ceballos, and then Ceballos in your utility, and then you could always switch to Aubameyang and then just, like, I don't know, some West Ham player.
Right.
I mean, it's not optimal. But at forward this week, I mean, it's, you're not from a floor perspective, you're not gonna like anything. There's a dink, you could dinky do, but you're not dinky doing with good players.
Right.
I mean, if you don't want to play Willian, I think you just play Aubameyang in cash. You could even I think that it's completely viable to play neither, and play Martial or Rashford.
With Willian.
No.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you're playing Martial Rashford, you still have another spot to fill.
Right.
Like, they're both awful to fill.
If you need the salary, I just think in the midfield, other than Bruno, there's no one worth paying for.
I agree with that.
Like, there's nothing, not even the 6-7K range, nothing. You're going down. There's maybe one mid-range play, but I think he's probably overpriced, and we'll get to him. So yeah. To me, it's a matter of you're taking one of them. You're probably not taking both. If you take two guys over 9K, you ain't getting Bruno in your lineup.
Yep.
So most likely you're taking one of these guys. I think from a production distribution standpoint, I prefer the Arsenal players over the Man United players. I think it's most likely, if Arsenal scores, it's most likely through Aubameyang. And if Arsenal has a lot of possession and set pieces, it's most likely Willian. Martial and Rashford are not set piece takers, and they're goal scorers. And Martial could score two goals and Rashford has 3 points, and vice versa.
Right.
I think it's more likely that Aubameyang puts up a decent enough score if Arsenal win that I do that. But like underneath this, like, yes, I guess if Lacazette starts, you could do that. I mean, it's still goal dependent.
Greenwood's
like in between that. Yeah, but I mean, are you paying $7,300 for Bowen on this slate?
Right, right. Or at $7,200 for Antonio.
Right. Or Zaha is at $6,800. Are you doing that? No.
What about Townsend?
I think Townsend's playable. I mean, I prefer... I think the popular option is going to be further down. For a dink.
Just one. Like, nobody jumps out at me, which I feel like is...
That's a problem.
Yeah.
Well, like, most likely, I'd rather side with the favored teams on this slate.
Well,
Costa's
sure.
If Costa's going to play, like, on the left wing or something, then for 5,500, give me him for Leeds. He's active enough. I prefer him over Townsend or Eze. He starts. He didn't start last week.
No, he didn't. And he played 90 for this midweek cup match.
Or even Caballero if he started for Fulham. But yep. I mean, that's on the underdog side of the game.
Right.
But I'd rather take a Leeds player than a Palace player.
Yeah.
But I don't mind Townsend. That's not the point. It's like, if you dinky dude, you'd play Townsend and Costa, play Bruno Fernandes, and then what do you do with the rest of your lineup? Because anyone worth paying up for is in a forward position.
Right.
You're not paying up twice at defense and goalkeeper, and then, I mean, like, I don't think that's the build.
Yeah.
But I think it's someone down here that we mentioned, and then one of the players up top.
Yes. Would you play one of these, like, Reece Nelson or Bukayo Saka?
If we knew that they were in, that was the...
Oh, that's right. That's right.
We would never know that. Right. I mean, and you're stuck at that point.
Right.
At Arsenal, especially. I mean, you're at least in Man United, you get like a Townsend or a Zaha or something like that. If you get stuck with Reece Nelson at 6,500, you're playing, I mean, is there anyone at that position that'll even be start? There'll be no one. Most likely Yarmolenko or Hilaire.
Yeah, you got to hope one of them. Yeah, that's it.
Hope they start at least.
That's what I mean.
You don't even have you don't have anyone that's there.
Yeah. You're right. So no, don't even.
Yeah, in your utility, but I mean, the only reason you'd be playing these players is because they're forward eligible.
Right, right.
They're overpriced for any other slot.
Right.
But I think it's that simple. I think the under-owned guys for GPP would be someone like Patrick Bamford.
Yeah.
7,400. But I think the ownership is going to be spread out enough that if you wanted to play Martial or Rashford, I think that's fine in GPP. Same for Antonio. I think I'd much rather play Antonio over Bowen in GPP.
Yeah.
I think Antonio has higher ceiling than Bowen.
I think you're going to get more out of West Ham than you get out of Crystal Palace, though.
I guess.
But you just have to pay for it. Is the like they're not,
right,
they're
right.
Not cheap.
They're not cheap, right. Yeah. The pricing on the slate is tough.
Yeah.
So at midfield, Bruno 11,000. That's like you just plug him in and you're fine. He's probably the best overall play on the slate.
Yep.
He takes everything from Man United. They're at home and they're favored. The second highest implied team total. But after that, I mean, geez, the hell is here? I mean, most of the players that are in these price ranges are forward eligible already.
Right.
I mean, essentially, you go from Fernandez to Pablo Hernandez to Paul Pogba. Like, that's it, unless you're forward eligible. And then you get down to Phillips. Do you think Phillips is worth 6,400?
The hesitation I have with Phillips is that we're assuming he has corners.
Right, because Leeds didn't even take one.
They didn't even take one. Like, Man United didn't play last week, but we know who takes them for Man United. So he took one free kick, Phillips did last week. But Pablo Hernandez didn't play, and Hernandez had taken some last year. Like, I think Phillips makes sense, but 6,400 is kind of a dead price for me. Like, why would you pay that much for maybe set pieces? I mean, he's a defensive midfielder. You're playing the Leeds Luka Milivojevic without penalties.
Right, right. That's the point that I'm making of, like, is he worth 6,400?
Right.
But I mean, if it's not Phillips, it's going to be Hernandez. I mean, like, who else on Leeds is going to take set pieces?
Those are the guys. Yeah.
Right. But it's not going to be a situation where Stuart Dallas is on corners.
Unlikely.
Right. Yeah, my problem with Phillips is that he becomes like Tom Cleverley. I mean, like his open play value is limited. You're paying for set pieces that he might not have at all, let alone a share, let alone he's priced as if he has a monopoly of set pieces for a favorite team.
Yeah, I mean, he probably does.
And he's efficient. And at that point, he'd be efficiently priced. He turns into Oliver Norwood. Okay, I don't mind.
I think you'd easily play him over the 6K forwards if you didn't have to fill the forward spot. Like, you play him over Townsend or Zaha or whatever.
Right. But I think, like, guys like Clich and Harrison have more open play value.
For sure.
They have lower floors, but how much lower?
Right.
But much. I'm looking more so to target Leeds than find cheap defensive-minded pieces of the Arsenal and Man United.
You are looking for that?
I am. I'd much rather play one of the Leeds guys than play Scott McTominay for 5,100.
Yes, but the Leeds guys are 1,000 more.
Right, but you may have it.
True.
Like, I'd love to know if Daniel James plays, because I'd play Daniel James. It's 4,400.
Sure.
But you're not going to know that.
That's why you put Ceballos in.
And then what happens if James doesn't start? Then you have Ceballos in, and then he doesn't start, and then you just, what?
And then it's a Pablo Fornals season.
Right. Or it's in utility. You go down to like a Bellerin or a Maitland-Niles and leave 1,200 on the table.
Right. Yeah, it's ugly.
I wouldn't mind playing Luka Milivojevic at 4,100.
It's not crazy.
Not crazy. I mean, now you're in this range where Milivojevic, Tom Kearney.
Mm-hmm. Well, Milivojevic didn't start last week.
Right.
And Kearney's game will be over by then.
Right, but I'm saying if you're in this range and you need I need a 4K midfielder.
Yeah.
Cabano or Fulham. I mean, it's just that now we're just talking about whoever's the only guy that I'm willing to play down this range that I would consider, like, if he's in, he's my cheap guy, is Anthony Knockhart.
Sure.
But he's not starting.
First game, though.
Right. Well, that that's what I mean.
Yeah.
It's the first game. We get the two lineups. If I see Anthony Knockhart in, he has enough open play. Who cares? Maybe he doesn't get set pieces. He's 3,500, and we have a history of him. He's an active winger, so
yeah. Even now if he only plays this 70. Week's, although Max Meyer's on the slate, we talked about Max Meyer last week, who was like, if he randomly gets a start, but then somebody else, wasn't there a cheap guy last week?
Yeah, Mitchell, but he's now 4,000.
No. There was a midfielder that everyone played, or you could have played. I'm trying to go back and see. I thought there was one.
I thought you forget last slates.
I did. That's why I'm scrolling back through to see what I can find. Oh, my God. I have to go through all my NFL ones. Come on, DraftKings. You should know exactly what I'm looking for. I can't even find it now.
So there's like no one down here. Who are you playing in this range? Midfield is awful.
Yeah, it's really bad. I mean, the whole slate's bad. That's the problem.
The whole slate bad. Because typically, once I get down to the lower cost midfield, it's like, oh, who the hell do I play here? I guess I'll play a defender at that price. And then you look at defenders at that price and go, I don't even want to play these guys.
No, yeah.
Right? Like, most of the players on the slate, I don't want to play.
I mean, realistically,
half the lineup is like, why am I playing these guys? Because they're still better than the other people.
Right. Like, realistically, there are two players on the slate you want to play, maybe a third, right?
Right.
Like, if salary was not a problem, you'd be like, give me Willian, give me Bruno, and I guess I'll play Aubameyang because he has the goal-scoring odds. And after that, there's nobody you want to play.
Right, there's no one. And then if you decide, okay, I instead of playing Willian and Fernandes, I'll go balanced. There's no one to play there either.
Right, your balanced lineup is like Bowen and Zaha, and then you get to the midfield, and you're like, oh, now I'm playing Phillips and...
Pogba.
Right, Danny Van de Beek.
You're right, it's stupid.
Yeah.
Because even we go to defense, there's like one guy to play a defender, and that's it. Everyone else is overpriced or not worth it, like... I'm more likely to play a center back in my center defender spot this week.
Well, it's funny because I was looking and I'm like, there are actually some decently priced fullbacks. They're not great, but they're not cheap, but they're like, okay. And I'm like, but I don't want to play that. Like I think Joe Bryan.
Right. That's the
is
one
who you play.
Right. Because they'll be on a majority set pieces for Fulham. Okay. Right. There you go.
And I think, like, Luke Shaw at 4,500 in a game that they're favored this much in is, like, usually one we would play. But, like, I don't want to play Luke Shaw. And I felt the same way about Ainsley Maitland-Niles because he was playing as, like, a wing back at 4,000 for a favorite. But, like, he's not really that good fantasy-wise. And then you just, like, look at the list and you're like, but who on earth would I play?
Right, because Bellerin's there at 4,400. And then you get – I thought maybe we'd get Kenny Tete cheap.
Yep. Nope.
And he's 4,000 in an underdog
not
role. If he was like 3,400, I'm like, okay, there we go. There's the cheap fullback.
I was thinking to myself, I would play Mitchell again for 3,300, 3,500 maybe.
Right.
But he's 4,000.
Right. And then do you want to pay up? Do you want to pay 5,900 for Wan-Bissaka?
Right.
No. And do I want to, and Eiling in Dallas for over 5K on Leeds? I mean, is there a point to that? Like, yes, they should be like 4,700. I'd be like, okay. And at that point, I'd be like, I guess so.
Right. The one price that surprised me was Kieran Tierney at 3,900. Not because that's not the price that you should pay for an Arsenal center back, but because he's not really a center back, he's the kind of guy that they usually continue to price as a fullback or as a wingback, even though they move to center back. Like, if he never played center back, he would be 5,500.
Right. And also, hey, you'll never know because it's the late game. Maybe he ends up playing as
right
a fullback. And then he would be the best defender play on the slate. But you would never know that.
Right.
But he's not. But even 3,900 has him as a center back on the slate is not, like, the worst thing in the world.
Yeah, I totally agree.
And I go down here, like, who else would I... I mean, I immediately went down and like, well, how about Tim Ream? And like, he's playing in a three back also.
Yeah.
2,500. But I mean, if you took your second defender slot and just said, I'm taking the cheapest guy that's starting, I can't blame you.
But the problem is it doesn't get you anything because there's
right,
no, it doesn't there's
give,
nobody to play.
Right. The slate is just like, okay, well, I'll pay all the way down so I can get up to Phillips. Like, but I really don't want to play him.
Right. Exactly.
Like, do I pay all the way down to get Phillips, or do I pay all the way up and then play Tom Cairney? I'm like, but I don't want to play him.
Yeah. It's do you think guys end up being chalky because there's nobody to play? Like, do you think we end up all playing? I'm scrolling through the list. I don't even know who the guy would be.
Who are we all playing?
Yeah.
I think it'll lead towards similar lineup constructions. I think you'll see a lot of barbell type lineup constructions.
Yeah. Yep.
Where people are going to fit in three guys, expensive players, and then fit whatever fits in.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be Brian and then three expensive players and then a mess of crap. And that mess
of crap.
Is
there a third expensive player to play, though?
Yeah, you play goal scorer. You play Rashford. I mean, you could do Willian, Aubameyang,
Bruno,
Fernandez.
And Brian. I don't think you can do that.
You can't?
I'm going to try right now. No.
Leaves you with 36-60 remaining. Then you punt the whole way. You don't play Brian.
Yeah, right.
I mean, you could do it. Or maybe instead of Aubameyang or instead of playing Willian and Aubameyang together, you'll replace one of them with like Rashford or Martial.
Right. And or Lacazette then, even. He'll save you some.
Or Lacazette, right. And then you could play Brian and then just cheap as hell everywhere else and who knows.
Right.
But to tell me who those plays are at this point, I can't. I can make a rationalization for all of them, but I mean, only because they're all bad.
Right.
Right. And not because it's like, oh, well, this guy, you could play James McCarthy or Cabano. It's like, I don't want to play either of them. I'd play Felipe Anderson if he started, but you won't know that. And even if he did, it's not like he's that great of a play. I see if Xhaka starts and he's in the lineup and if he's your last spot, I can't blame you. Who else would you be taking? I look at all these pieces and go, if someone had Declan Rice in their cash lineup as their last piece, like, because they had 3,900 left. That's the reason.
Right.
There's no other reason. But still, I'd be more likely to take the cheaper players from Leeds.
Yes.
Like whoever shows up in their lineup, even if it's a defensive midfielder. Only because the defensive-minded midfielders for like Arsenal and Man United are expensive.
Right.
Like they're priced 1,000 more. But I mean, if we see like a Johansson in the Fulham lineup,
yep.
It's like, okay, I could punt with that. Or Zambo and Guisa.
He played last week, yeah.
So I don't mind it because I mean, what do you need? You're essentially punting.
Fun slate.
But Leeds is actually a decent favorite in this game.
Yeah, they are.
It's Fulham's horrible. How do Fulham expect to stay up?
Your guess is as good as mine.
I mean, essentially, they're playing with the same roster that they came up with 2 years ago that didn't stay up.
Yep.
It's a good enough roster to make the playoffs in the championship, but not compete at the Premier League level. I'm going to say that, and Mitrovic is going to have a hat trick.
Hat trick, yeah.
You know, we're going to get to that point. We're going to get to that point of the season somehow.
What?
Mitrovic 6,200 in cash.
Oh.
Four, right? And it's like, well, look at his shots. I'm like, yeah, I can't argue with that. But like, what pieces of like, I'm taking a look at the projected starting lineups. Like, you'll never know if Ceballos is in, so I don't even know how you can't even do anything with that.
Well, you end up playing Xhaka.
Right. No, it's in a utility spot, so you end up playing Maitland-Niles or Beller. You play one of those guys.
I think yes, you could do that, but I think you're more likely to build, as crazy as it sounds, because we just crapped on everybody. I think it'll be easier to fill three or two defender spots than two midfield spots. And so, like, I think you actually could use Ceballos. And, like, I think you will end up trying to use Ceballos more in a midfield spot than a utility.
Then who would you be playing in the utility? Another defender.
Another defender.
Oh, but there's no defenders to play.
There's no anything to play.
There's no anything to play.
I guess you're probably more likely to try to get something out of Milivojevic than you would like Maitland-Niles.
Right.
If he starts. Elneny.
What happens if Greenwood starts?
Why wouldn't he?
I don't know.
Yeah, I think you can play him.
Okay. If most of these players have no floor. So what does it matter at this point?
Yeah, I think
like I'm just looking around, going, like if I'm gonna play Aubameyang, why don't I just pay down for Greenwood so I could pay up for no one else? I mean, like I what am I paying up for? What am I paying down for?
I think Greenwood in cash, I think you can make that somewhat argument, but I think he makes much more sense than Rashford or Martial.
Yeah, just for the price,
right? Like it's a, what is that, 1500?
Yeah,
I mean that could get you De Gea or Henderson if he starts.
Right. Oh, do you think he's paying up for goalkeeper type of slate?
I mean,
I don't even know how you do that.
We have two big favorites. Instead of playing Luke Shaw, you play Lindelof.
Right. You play Stone.
And Rob Holding instead of Maitland-Niles.
Jesus. That's what this type of slate is. And because you're saying it, and I'm like, I'm reacting, and then thinking, I'm reacting with my heart by like, why the hell would you ever do that? And then my brain responds, because he's as good as 17 other players at that spot. Uh-huh. Who cares?
Yeah.
This is an awful slate.
Yeah.
This is just an absolutely awful slate. If you did not want to play this slate, I would not make fun of you if you just skip it.
And this is going to be like an issue for weeks. Like this is not even just like bad players on the slate, but like if we only have three game slates with staggered start times, like if we knew everybody who was playing in this, like if they were all 10 o'clock, then I think we'd have a more viable conversation here.
Right.
Like I think you talk about whether you actually do play Willian, do you play Willian and Ceballos because you know because you'll know they're both in. Do you just play Ceballos?
Right.
But no. They post a Bundesliga slate yet? No. Damn.
No, they just do the showdowns. Yeah. I'd rather at this point, if the Premier League is going to be like this, I'd almost rather there be no EPL classic slates. They just be showdowns.
There's no
and have the classic slate be the Bundesliga.
There's no maybe about this. That's like by far the best solution.
No, well, personally, I'd rather play Bundesliga DFS over EPL DFS.
Everyone should.
Right, but EPL is more popular. But if they can have staggered start times, just make them the showdowns. Because look, you could fill a five game classic Bundesliga slate at 9:30, and I'll still play a 10 a.m. showdown EPL slate.
Yep.
And then play the 12:30 showdown, and then the 3 o'clock show. Okay. And then we actually have a five-game actual slate.
Right.
In a league that's actually good.
It's actually better than.
Right, and it's actually more accessible now that it's on ESPN.
Uh huh. Yeah, it's more accessible than the Premier League now.
Right. Truthfully, it is because now I can't the games on. I can't other than the late game, I can't watch the first two games.
Yep.
I need to subscribe to Peacock.
I think Peacock's just the last game, isn't it?
No, the last game is NBCSN. The first two are Peacock.
Oh.
Who knows at this point? Yeah. I have no idea. And then if you have it, that is Peacock free, and then Peacock, I don't know how you watch any of this stuff. And of course, we're complaining. There are people in England that can't watch any of the games.
No, they can watch them all now. That's the thing.
Oh, now they can watch because they don't have. They don't have to know fans, so they don't have to black it out.
This is like exactly what everybody wants.
In England.
In England, I guess. I have no idea. Right. There could be a five-game Bundesliga slate this weekend, which would include Kostic against a promoted side.
Right. Why aren't we doing that? Can I play Kostic in my lineup on this slate?
Right. I would pay $25,000 for Kostic on this slate.
I'd play $25,000 just to play a different slate.
There's plenty of MLS. Heard rumors about good volume in MLS lately.
No, that's because Alvaldo doesn't matter. He doesn't care who he's playing against.
Mm-hmm. People always joke about whether the green number, and he actually likes the white number more.
Right, right. He doesn't care if he wins or not.
He doesn't even check after that. I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't bring this up, but there's been some fantasy flush conversations in the RotoWire Discord. Is there any chance that comes back one day?
No, why would it ever have to come back?
Because people want it back.
Well, I don't care.
Just because people want it, that's why.
Or people. Well, how many people? Can you count it on one hand?
No, no. It's at least six. Oh, two hands definitely needed.
You just, who wants to listen to MLS rants? I don't even play MLS DFS anymore.
Yeah.
No, but if you wanted to go, I think, no, I don't know. I'm not even sure if the feed's active anymore. I don't think
that's too bad.
No, I still have fantasyflush.com. If you want to search on iTunes.
Oh, okay. There we go.
The really old.
Yeah.
No, the back from the beginning.
Raw and uncut Jordan Cooper.
Right. I mean, but that was my start in the industry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you do something that's what you should do if you wanted to get involved in any industry.
Hmm.
Just go and whatever you want to see, do it yourself. And then what you do is you bug the people that are on platforms above you, higher than you with memes and jokes.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's exactly what I did. To you and Skylar.
Works every time.
Right. And then you then listen to this and go back. I think the most classic episode was the Alvin Jones one. It's easily the most classic one.
It really is.
Where the DraftKings scored the wrong guy.
The one that somebody brought up yesterday was the Zuzi getting hurt, and you told them that they should have dragged him out by his man bun back on the field to accumulate points.
Right, I don't care if they'll run into him at some point.
Mm-hmm.
It could be a tackle one.
Yeah, at least a foul drawn, right?
Right, or something.
Yeah. Boy, if this doesn't prove how great this Saturday slate is, I don't know what does. Anybody need any follow-up for Jordan, you can find him on Twitter at BlenderHead. That's BlenderHD. I'm at RotoWire Andrew. You can also find Jordan's masterclass, The Theory of DFS, at theoryofdfs.com. Highly recommend for anybody who is looking to take their DFS game to the next level. So, Jordan, thank you for all that, and good luck this weekend.
Thank you for listening to the RotoWire Fantasy Soccer Podcast. For more great content, visit rotowire.com/soccer.